We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jeff Chedia from NFL Network in studio. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm probably doing a little better than you two guys are, though, right now.
Why so?
I still have to go cover playoff games. So I'm still going to be watching football that has some interest. Although I am, it is. I would rather be watching the Chiefs play the Patriots, but it's not going to happen.
I've talked way too much about this. We all have. So just you. I saw you. I saw you before the game out at Arrowhead, and didn't get a chance to see you afterwards. But you just tell me what, in your opinion, what happened? Why did the Chiefs lose that game?
Wow. I don't know if I can say anything that is new. I will say this. I think the one thing that has probably not been discussed enough, and I've heard a lot of the talk on your guys' station over the last 24 hours, it's amazing to me how much this team, and it's not an excuse, but how much this team suffers big injuries in the playoffs. I think every playoff game I've watched them play in the Andy Reid era, they've lost one or two key players in the course of the game. And it's mind-boggling. But that's
Jamal Charles against the Colts.
Right? Oh, there was like four guys against the Colts, wasn't it? It was like multiple concussions. Brandon Flowers, I think Tom Bahali got hurt in that game. It's like four key players. Jeremy Maclin went down, was banged up going to the Patriots game. Justin Houston was banged up. You know, last year Derek Johnson, this year Travis Kelce and Chris Jones. So that's just misfortune, but it still doesn't explain having an 18-point lead against an offensively challenged team in your home field, everything presumably going your way, and you can't find a way to win. Look, the easy answer to your question why they lost is their defense isn't good enough, and that's where I would start. I would say that there's only two players who can beat you on their offense, and they beat you. They're going to run the football, and you allow their only healthy running back to run for 114 yards in the second half. He had 156 yards on 23 carries, almost averaged 7 yards a carry. Even on the last play that clinched the game for them, when they ran that read option play where you watched the play unfold and there's no safety back for the Chiefs. They've got everyone on the line of scrimmage and they can't corral a read option. And the quarterback makes the key block on a backup outside linebacker to spring Derrick Henry for, 12-yard gain on 3rd and 10?
Oh, when Frank Zombo was erased from the play by the quarterback?
Yeah, 3rd and 10. Third and 10. Wasn't like it was 3rd and 1. He had to go 10 yards on that play.
Did you see Zombo in that whole play?
Yeah. Like, where are you going?
Right.
Where are you going?
Sucked inside.
Yeah. Well, I love the 35-yard run Derrick Henry had where the touchdown run he had where Jarvis Jenkins is running after the quarterback, and I'm thinking, he just handed the ball off. It wasn't a read option play. Just
He did. He took two steps to the quarterback. Like, that wasn't even like a –
What are you looking at? So I would hope that as we begin to look forward to 2018, and I know there's so much excitement about the quarterback, the likely quarterback change, I'll say that. I don't know if it's guaranteed, but I would assume that Alex Smith will be traded, that it's time for Bob Sutton to be replaced.
Yes, and yes.
And to be honest with you, I've thought about this the last couple of days. I would like somebody to come in here and go to a four-man front. I'd like somebody to come in here and bring it a 4-3 defense, because I don't think that with what they have coming back, you're losing Tom Bahali's done. Justin Houston is, as much as we don't talk about it, he's not been a factor in the playoffs, and he's been banged up.
Well, they need to get a defensive coordinator that realizes Justin Houston is best used as a pass rusher and not repeatedly dropped into coverage.
Yeah, that's why I would say a 4-3 might end up being a better look for this team, because Chris Jones can be a pretty dominant defensive end. You have some 300-pound guys, you know, in the interior line already who could play defensive tackle for you. I look at some of the better defenses in the NFL right now, and whether you're talking about Jacksonville, you talk about what Philadelphia is doing. You know, I think they need to have a better rotation to work with, and they need to be more aggressive up front. You know, and so I look at what Atlanta's become, you know, with their defense. People were laughing at them last year when they went to the playoffs with the 25th ranked defense. Now that defense is ranked 10th, and they just beat the L.A. Rams out in L.A. And I say this because I just don't believe that they have the personnel to be a successful 3-4 defense anymore. D Ford's future here is up in the air. If you're trying to find a way to restock pass rushers, you're trying to find a way to stop the run. I just don't think Eric Berry coming back is the answer. I don't think Patrick Mahomes scoring more points is the answer. I think you have to have a very sound idea about what you want to do defensively and have personnel on the field who play to that mindset. And I said, because I look at, you know, I remember something Lovie Smith said about running the 4-3 versus the 3-4 when he was still coaching. He said, look, I like the 4-3 because it makes things easier. I'm not teaching my pass rushers to drop into coverage. They're being taught how to rush the passer. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're Seattle or you're Atlanta, it makes things very simple. We know our responsibilities. We know what we have to do. Now, maybe Reggie Ragland is sort of like, he's a guy who may not fit into that picture because he's more of a 3-4 guy than a 4-3 middle linebacker. But they have to make some kind of drastic change, and that might be it.
I would think it's got to be an attractive position for a qualified defensive coordinator to be in this situation, to want to come here, because you're going to run the whole defense. Like, this coach he's the offensive coach. You know, I mean, Andy Reid's going to let you do your job.
Yeah.
There is, like you said, I know they need to address some things, but there's some personnel there. If you have Eric Berry back, you have Marcus Peters, you have Justin Houston, Chris Jones, some of those guys in the defense, there are enough pieces there that if they go add some things and you get autonomy, wouldn't this be an attractive job for a good qualified defensive coordinator?
Oh, I think they won't have any problem finding good defensive coordinators. It's more a question of when are they going to make that move? Is Andy Reid going to sit on this for a couple weeks and hem and haw and, you know, his loyalty to his friend?
Doesn't Clark Hunt have to tell him, look, I've given you everything. You got your own handpicked GM now. You run the whole thing. You need to make a move at defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think that. I'm sure Clark Hunt has probably made some kind of comment to that effect already. If he hasn't, then he's just completely tone deaf to what's happening here.
Which is possible.
You know, but I think that, look, they ran off John Dorsey a year ago. Why you can't run off a defensive coordinator is beyond me. And I don't like seeing people lose their jobs, but the proof is in the pudding. You know, I think for the last 3 or 4 years, it's been easy to blame Alex Smith and say, well, he's 1-4 in the playoffs. Look at the common denominator in every playoff loss they've had. 28-point lead against Indy, 18-point lead two nights ago, Pittsburgh last year, the Patriots the year before. Can't stop people. That's the biggest factor in why they haven't advanced the playoff. Can't stop people. And I'm not talking about like one or two possessions. I'm talking about you look at the stat sheet and it's just like these guys have had career days. And so I don't know what else you need. People get fired for a lot less in this league. A lot less. Oakland Raiders fired their defensive coordinator midseason. You know? And so it's time. It's time because you can't really – it's not fair to start the Patrick Mahomes era with a defense that can't stop people. It's not fair.
You know, I don't think it's totally fair to cite Alex Smith's playoff record, but the only reason that I do is because the Alex Smith supporters have continually cited his regular season record as the biggest reason why he should stay the quarterback of the Chiefs. But then when you bring up the playoff record, well, you can't pin that on him. No. Well, then he doesn't get all the credit for his record because he's had a good quality team around him in Kansas City.
Yeah.
It has to be consistent. It has to go both ways. Yeah. Either we are or we're not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and again, I think that Here's what I'll say about Alex, because it's pretty much, it's not even worth debating because he's going to be gone. Right?
Now, no, but stop. Okay, now stop right there, because there are people that don't think he's going to be gone. Now, and this is what I say. He was terrific in the first half. Mm-hmm. In the second half, everyone, that was complimentary football, as Mark Berwicher said, complimentary football to lose. Everyone had a hand in it. The defense was terrible. The offense wasn't good. There was all these things. And then I hadn't seen the All-22 in the breakdown. Brian Baldinger, Seth Kaiser, Vero Head Pride, play-by-play, looking at all the All-22s. It was damn near a replay from the same things that happened in the Pittsburgh game where Alex Smith, you don't see it in the stats, you don't see it in the numbers, but there were plays where there were open receivers where he didn't keep his eyes downfield. He got jittery in the pocket, decided to try to run when there were other clear options, especially, as Nate said, on the 3rd and 9 play. And those are much...
What play is that?
Right before the last play in the final possession. When it's 3rd, where do they have the ball? The 44?
Yeah, I think it was the 44-yard line.
So the 4th down play was...
I remember the play, yeah.
Right, on 3rd and 9, there was a pocket there. Wow. And he just immediately looked down and gave up on the pocket.
Well, what I saw in that play, I saw a guy who saw... Maybe he checked the wrong play. I saw receivers covered, and he's looking at a defensive lineman in front of him who he's trying to beat. I saw a guy who's trying to run for a first down on that play. Not that. Mm. That's the All-22 I saw.
Right.
Because the coverage, there were no open receivers on that play. And so, but again, they ran, what, 18 plays in the second half? Is that what it was? 18, 19 plays in the second half total? I'll go back to this. If you got a 21-3 lead at halftime on your home field against an offensively challenged team, you should not lose. No matter what. Now, if they need to score 24 points or 28 points.
Don't get shut out in the second half.
Well, I mean, Bucker missed a field goal, right?
Yep.
I mean, so it's
Yeah, but Bucker missed a field goal, not because of anything the offense did whatsoever.
Yeah.
They inherited that field position because of a muff punt, and then they went 3 and out and kicked a field goal, a 49-yard field goal. They didn't even get any yardage on that to make it an easier kick. They get 4 yards in that drive. The kick's good.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, it's varying degrees, but the offense did nothing to help the team in the second half.
I'll say this.
They didn't even stay on the field.
I'll say this. When you lose your best receiver, when you lose Travis Kelce,
that was huge.
It affects you. That's the only thing I'll say in defense of the offense, that they weren't whole in the second half. Now, you can say Chris Jones was in there, but you have other guys who can tackle people. I don't think Chris Jones is a make or break part of this defense. I don't think that, you know, you're allowing, again, I'm going to use this description every time I talk about this team, an offensively challenged team. A team that is not going to go down the field in 3 or 4 plays. A team that needs like 12 to 15 plays to get in the end zone. For them to score 3 touchdowns on 3 possessions is inexcusable. Oh, yeah. Inexcusable.
I don't think anybody's arguing that.
They scored enough points to win the game.
I don't think anybody's arguing that, though. Yeah. But Alex Smith still could have done something. And look, and I think he was also screwed by some drop passes and stuff.
How about a 20-yard run that gets called back for holding on Demetrius Harris?
I thought it was a BS call, by the way. We haven't even talked about that one. I thought it was a terrible call.
Yeah, it was.
But
officiating was bad.
But whatever. I mean, look.
But let me ask you this. Do you think, if you're starting to prioritize reasons they lost the game, where does Alex Smith's performance rate?
He's way down the list. Okay. But to me, it's kind of a moot point. Like, I told Steven this earlier. He and I disagree a little bit on how much Alex Smith was or was not culpable for this game. My stance on it was he didn't lose the game, but it's also a fact that he didn't win the game. You know, he didn't go win the game for the team. So somewhere, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is, what's happening going forward? Do you go forward with Alex Smith, or do you trade him and it's time for Patrick Mahomes? That's all that really matters. I mean, to me, it doesn't really matter that much, you know?
Well, I would say this, going forward, you're going to lose these games with Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback if you have the same kind of defense. and go to Green Bay. If you think I'm wrong, go to Green
Bay. Aren't you better equipped to address your defense right. if you have $17 million to spend on players?
I agree with that. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I agree with that. I'm not arguing to keep Alex Smith
right.
here. I think it's the right move to trade him and get draft picks and get salary cap
And that's
space.
All that really matters.
But what I'm saying is I don't want every time we've had this conversation in this town, it always comes back to, well, Alex Smith could have done this or that. No, the defense has to play better.
Right, but it also because he had the ball, the offense had the ball in their hands multiple times this year, and they didn't get it done. And it's always the same excuses. It's always ever, you know.
Okay, how many games would you say they lost because of Alex Smith, and how many games would you say they lost because of their defense? I can list four games right off the top of my head they lost because of their defense.
Do you think they lost the Giants game because of their defense?
No, but lost the Raiders game because of their defense. Lost Pittsburgh because of their defense. Lost the Jets game because of their defense. And
Pittsburgh was a what score of that game?
Didn't I see Philip Gaines like knocking a ball up in the air?
Saw the Chiefs go for it on fourth down when they could have kicked a field goal and been one possession away.
Pittsburgh, when that play happened?
I think Pittsburgh was one of those complimentary games. They lost because of both.
The last two games against Pittsburgh, they've given up 18 and 19 points.
How many yards have they given up?
But it's points. They don't compare yardage.
Equates to possessions.
But would anyone sign up? Would Jacksonville sign up right now to say that, hey, you're going to give up 19 points or 18 points against Pittsburgh? Anyone would. That's a great offense. And they gave up 18 or 19, and they can't overcome that.
They lost 19 to 13.
How many yards did you give up to Le'Veon Bell?
Le'Veon Bell ran for 179 yards.
That's a problem.
Right, sure, it's a problem.
What was time of possession?
But is it too much to ask to score 20 points?
No,
Pittsburgh outgained Kansas City in that game. This regular season game, 439 to 251.
There you go.
Time of possession was 36-39 to 23-21.
There you go. When you have less time, you have less possessions. And when you have less possessions, you have fewer chances to make plays. I'm not saying that you're wrong, that hey, holding those teams to this many points is a good thing. But I'm saying, when you're saying it affects your offense to the point you're not getting, if you're getting as many plays as they're getting, you're going to score more points. That was the problem in the second half of this game.
But how many times do we see New England or Pittsburgh or teams with these quarterbacks look like garbage for three or three and a half quarters, but they get the ball last and they win? The Chiefs don't do that. There's proof. When he's not successful enough.
All right, but that's a different argument. That's a different argument. What you're saying is, hey, we're going to be in a bad position anyway, so we should have a quarterback who can pull something out of his butt.
No, I'm just saying that you know what? Get the ball in the end zone once in a while and win these games. They had the ball with a chance to kick a field goal to win the game, and they didn't do it. That's the playoffs.
If I had told you they had scored 21 points in this game, and Tennessee would have three at halftime, would you have said, oh, they're going to win that game? There's no way they can lose. What would be the probability you would say? Now, it's different if you're talking about Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or some dynamic quarterback. But I'm saying in this game, if you said, hey, this team has 3 points at halftime, what are the odds of them getting to 22? I would have said there was zero chance.
So I guess I'm coming back to this, though. We're all in agreement here. They need to change the defensive coordinator. They need to add talent to the defense. And the best way to do that, one of the best ways to do that, is to trade Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And use that money on the defensive side of the ball and go forward with Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, aren't we all three in agreement on
that? Oh, we're all in agreement with that.
That being the course of action here?
But just don't assume you're going to get that part done. Because that's my concern, is like, when I look at this team.
Who is?
What?
He's a young quarterback. We just want to turn the page and try to start developing the quarterback that they spent two first-round picks on.
Oh, I'm all for that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that I think people have this narrative that he's playing and it's going to be better. I don't think that's a narrative.
They might take a step back next year.
I think that they're not going to be better. They're not going to be a championship-caliber team unless they have a championship-caliber defense. And I've said that since Alex Smith got here.
Which is a stronger point for why they need to trade Alex Smith.
Yeah. So if you don't think that that's legitimate, go to Green Bay and see what they say about Aaron Rodgers. We talk about Aaron Rodgers like, hey, if we just had a guy like that, everything would change. The conversation they have every offseason up there is, he needs more help. He's got to get him more help. defense is awful.
But what's the model? You get a young quarterback that is in his first contract before he makes a whole bunch of money, and you have the ability to surround him with more talent.
I agree with that.
And so if they wait another year, then they piss away an opportunity to do that.
Well, and I guess probably the thing that I'm not saying here that probably needs to be said is, like, I don't know how much I trust them personnel-wise to get the right people.
Well, that's a whole other
question. Because all I know is there's a second-round pick here who is a developmental guy who played, 18 snaps this year or whatever?
Right.
That no one talks about.
Right. But
when they start doing that kind of stuff,
and that's
I get concerned.
And I agree with that. But my point is that there's no way they can put the talent around him if they keep Alex Smith.
But again, that's I'm not even arguing that. That's not an argument worth having. The only way you're going to get better on defense is by trading Alex Smith.
But that's the argument that everyone's having in Kansas City right now.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what argument we are having right now.
Well, the argument we're having is that.
Do we trust Brett Veach and Andy Reid to make the defense better? That's your question.
I think that's a huge concern.
Yeah.
I have a bad feeling they don't get rid of Bob Sutton.
That's totally not. I think Bob Sutton should go.
Yes.
I think they need.
But will he go?
That's the question. Will
that's
he go?
Better.
I think that's just as important as making the move with Alex Smith.
Yeah. I think it's probably. Yeah. I think it's even more important.
Wholesale changes.
So that's probably what we are arguing here. Is like we're doing two things. We're trying to assign blame for what happened on Saturday night, and we're trying to figure out how do they get better.
Everyone gets blamed, but in order to build the type of defense necessary for them to win, part of the equation is acquiring draft picks for Alex Smith now that his trade value has peaked, and using that $17 million to add defensive help.
And acknowledging where your holes are on defense.
That's right.
Because what didn't happen last offseason, and I kept sitting here saying, why aren't they picking up a corner? And I kept being told, well, they like the guys they have, like Terrence Mitchell's coming along, and Philip Gaines is here, and he was going to start until he got that knee injury, and Steven Nutt. Now we know.
What about at least the desperation, the move that they made to go out and sign Darrell Revis? Is that an admission that they now realize the corners aren't as good as they thought?
I think it is.
And so now
I think it is. I mean, he won't be back next year, but
they know they need someone different.
But even the talk of like, well, Eric Berry comes back and he'll like resolve some things, he'll cover up some things. I don't agree with that. I just don't buy. I mean, because they were not a good defense last year when he was there. He played well.
They were better. They were a lot better than they were this year.
Yeah, but they weren't good enough.
No, but they were a lot better than they were this year. I mean, he helps them. He doesn't solve everything. He helps them. They need to do other things. Would you trade? I know nobody wants to trade him in the division. Would you trade Alex Smith for Aqib Talib?
No. No. I don't think they're going to make a trade within a division for him at all, because he could help Denver. I mean, then if he helps Denver, then you're putting yourself in a bad position. I think Alex Smith is going to end up in Jacksonville or Arizona. I think those are the two likeliest places for him to go, because Arizona knew him in San Francisco and had interest in him before he came here, and Jacksonville could use a quarterback like him who's not going to make mistakes, who's going to be reliable, and I think those are the two best landing spaces.
And don't you believe the Chiefs are going to get something for him?
Oh, yeah. I think it's very likely at least a second-round pick. If you really are desperate and you're in a situation like Jacksonville, maybe you give 2 second-round picks.
Right.
Or a late first.
That's the one thing that I think was a huge benefit of having to go through this with the same result, is that he played at such a high level. It was a career year. His trade value has spiked, and the Chiefs now could take advantage of that.
Well, not only has it spiked, but like you aren't going to get anything. You'll get a compensatory pick for him if you keep him around next year, but it's not going to be what you get now.
Third round pick.
There's no – and I get people saying you want stability at quarterback. You drafted this kid for a reason. You're thinking he can play. He was your second-round pick. He was your second quarterback all year long. He got a chance to play in a game. He's been in the room with Alex Smith for a year. You can't keep diapers on him forever.
Right.
At some point, you have to, if you think he's that good, you put him on the field and you play him. I don't see where that's – and you get benefit from that in getting rid of Alex Smith. It's not – I think people turn it into, you don't like Alex Smith? Look at all this. Look at what he's done. I think this is more of like a situation of look. How do we get better for the future, and should he be a part of it?
100% correct. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jeff, what's your reaction to Matt Nagy being introduced today as the new head coach of the Chicago Bears?
Mild surprise. You know, I guess I've covered this league long enough that you don't really – you learn to expect anything. But if you had told me in November that Matt Nagy was going to be an NFL head coach in 2 months, I would have laughed at you. And not because I don't have any kind of not to disrespect Matt Nagy. It's just like of all the names out there that would have been considered for some of these jobs, he would not have been somebody who I'd have thought of. But I think that looking at it now, you know, he certainly had a great interview. You know, he went down there on Sunday and he had a job on Monday, so that says a lot about his ability to capitalize on an opportunity. But some of this feels a lot like Chicago probably wants to have lightning strike twice. And you look at what happened when Doug Peterson left here to go to Philadelphia. A lot of people were stunned by that.
To work with a young quarterback.
And I'm sure they see what's happened to Carson Wentz. And the feeling is probably that Matt Nagy has been around Patrick Mahomes. He's developed quickly. He hasn't been on the field that much. But you saw him play against Denver and you know, the word on the street is that he's really come along quickly. You know, the way he called plays, I think that his play calling in the 4 or 5 games he called plays down the stretch there after they really struggled offensively probably opened some eyes. And he's a young coach. And so there's a lot of value there. And Andy Reid coaches have done well for themselves. And I look at his coaching tree right now, whether it's Ron Rivera or Doug Peterson or Sean McDermott. You know, there is those coaches have a way of handling situations, of handling players. They're really good under adversity. You know, they have a way of dealing with tough times that get people through, and their players trust them. And so, yeah, I think if I had to look at why Matt Nagy had a job today, it probably has, you know, something to do with his play calling and something to do with Patrick Mahomes and something to do with Doug Peterson, but more to do overall with just the credibility you get from being on an Andy Reid staff.
Brad Childress is going to retire, so he cannot be the replacement. Eric Bieniemy is being mentioned as a possible candidate to be promoted. What do you think of who might take over for Matt Nagy as offensive coordinator, or does it really matter?
Hey, look, Andy's going to go back to calling the plays. I think we all can assume that right now is going to happen. I think Bieniemy would be the obvious choice now that Brad Childress is gone. I was surprised by that, too. I didn't see him as somebody who was going to retire. And at this point in time, he's not that old of a guy. But, hey, you know, people have to decide what to do what's best for themselves. But I think Bieniemy, yeah, he called plays when he was in college at UCLA.
Well, he was the coordinator for 2 years at Colorado.
Colorado. Yep. He was at UCLA. He was at UCLA after Colorado, right?
I think he came from Colorado right to here.
It was way after. Right. Yeah, but he's done it before.
Right.
And you're really not asking somebody to go out there and take over the entire offense. You're doing exactly what Doug Peterson did, what Nagy did. So,
he does a good job of grooming coaches.
Yeah, you know, and be honest with you, I think that he has really done an underrated job of handling running backs here. When they lost Jamal Charles a few years ago, and they had to rely on Shark Hendrick West and Spencer Ware, two guys nobody knew anything about. Those guys became better players.
Have you had a chance to talk to him very much?
I knew him in college.
Right. But he was
a different guy in college. he was a wild dude back in college. I can tell you some Eric Bieniemy stories.
I'd like to hear some. But when you talk to him, and I know this is just another factor, but when you talk to different coaches, you kind of get that it factor that's a dynamic personality. And any time we've ever talked to these associate assistant coaches, he's always been a guy that stands like, well, I could play for him. He can motivate me. He's got and Gary Barnett, who had him at Colorado, was on the show a little bit earlier and talked about how intelligent he is and how his football IQ is so high and just a leader of men. He has those intangibles you look for besides what we see behind closed doors.
Yeah, he's always been. He's again going back to college. He was always a very dynamic, charismatic leader. You know, I think he definitely is somebody who can command a room. He's somebody who is going to command respect from players. And I don't really feel like – I don't worry so much about their offense right now because, as Nate said, they've got a lot of talent over there. They've obviously had success this year with it. They've got a very talented quarterback coming into the fold in Patrick Mahomes. So there's not, you know, and this is not to knock Eric, but it's not a lot of heavy lifting going on over there. I think the defensive side of it is where you're going to have to figure out exactly who you want, and you have to change some culture over there and make some tough decisions. So I think it makes all sense in the world for Bieniemy to be that guy.
Yeah, I don't have any concerns about the offense. I mean, I'm not suggesting that Patrick Mahomes isn't going to have growing pains, all that, but I think the weapons are there. The offensive line's not great, but it's good enough. And I'm more than anything, I'm concerned about who the defensive coordinator is going to be. If they're not going to make a change, I'm extremely concerned. Who the defensive coordinator is going to be, and what are they going to do to address the personnel on the defensive side of the ball?
How much confidence do you have in Justin Houston? I mean, if we talk about Alex's contract, is he a $20 million a year player?
I don't think Justin Houston is performing at the level of his contract.
Justin Houston is being asked to do things he shouldn't be asked to do.
Yes.
I don't think he's being used properly.
I think Justin Houston is still a very good player.
After the quarterback.
Okay.
And I think one of Bob Sutton's biggest failures as a defensive coordinator, he allows the opposing offense, he allows the offense to dictate what he's going to do with Justin Houston based on different looks. And, of course, once the offense figures that out and makes adjustments, they're going to do whatever they can to get you to have Justin Houston in coverage because you don't want him to get after the quarterback.
Yeah.
Rush the quarterback.
It's going to be hard for Justin Houston to perform at the level of his contract, but there's enough other guys that, I mean, like, once Tom Bahali's gone, who else is overpaid on this team?
Well, all I'm saying is, you know, should he take a pay cut?
Well,
because I think he should take a pay cut.
Can you get him to do that? Maybe if you extend his contract out, you know.
I think you should have that discussion. I think he's not playing up to $20 million a year.
Well, no,
and
I mean,
so if you're trying to save money and help out the defense and get more resources, you need to have that conversation.
Sure.
Do you have the conversation with Eric Berry?
It's too early. I mean, he just got his deal and he got hurt, so it's a different story. But,
do something like cap friendly. I mean, you see Tom Brady does it all the time.
Yeah.
Just try to massage things and try to get some more talent in here. Players do it all the time.
You know, one thing I see people point out, the people that say you don't need to trade Alex Smith because the salary cap's going to go up and you're going to have money to spend anyway. The salary cap's going up for everybody.
Yeah.
That means that prices are going to go up because everyone's going to have more money to spend on other players. You don't just need more money for yourself. You need more money than the other teams have so that you can outbid them for free agents. That's how it works.
I tell you what, there's a guy in Dallas who looks pretty good right now as a pass rusher who's going to be a free agent, DeMarcus Lawrence. And he had 15 sacks this year. You know, again.
Sign me up.
Again, if you're talking about, as I'm talking about, go to 4-3, sign him up, have him with Justin Houston and Chris Jones.
And
now you got a pass rush.
Other thing about Justin Houston is, especially once Dee Ford was out, other teams didn't have to worry about any edge rusher but him. They could turn the protection toward him every single time he was going to rush the passer.
Hey, look. I remember when Jack Del Rio went to Oakland, I asked him about Khalil Mack, and he said he is dropping back way too often. He's going forward. So that means get somebody in here who gets him going forward.
Would you be interested in Jack Del Rio as your defensive coordinator? I've had many people tweet that to me.
I think him or a guy who makes a lot of sense, too, is Steve Spagnuolo.
Oh, yes.
You know, who was with Andy in Philadelphia. He makes a lot more sense because they know each other.
Yes.
All right.
So. Yes. Back after this on WHB. Todd has just come in here and said Oklahoma is not going to beat Texas Tech. And he said, if Kansas couldn't beat them at Allen Fieldhouse, how could we? I can't tell if he's being serious or not.
He's being serious.
Is he?
100%. I can tell.
I don't know.
I think he's just upset about that championship game last night.
Did you watch all of it?
He's thinking, man, Baker Mayfield was on that field. We could have that championship.
Did you watch the end?
I watched the end. I was kind of down on it just because it was like a SEC title game 2.0.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's one of those. How you give up that pass play, that's going to be paying for the Chiefs. Number 14 for Georgia. They got Chief written all over him.
Damn it, Jeff. Damn it, Jeff.
Why are you looking at me?
Both of them. What are we talking about?
What game are you going to?
I'm going to Pittsburgh. Steelers, Jags.
That'd be a good one.
Part shot. Two. I know Jacksonville beat them up pretty good in Pittsburgh this year, but what kind of chance do you give them at beating them again?
Oh, I like their chances. You know, I think once I you've been there and you've beaten the bully, you're not afraid anymore. And they're not the most enjoyable team to watch play, but, man, they get after it defensively. I mean, their corners are tough.
And Jalen Ramsey's so good.
Yeah, well, A.J. Boye, they're both good, man. And so it's like they match up well with Pittsburgh. And you really – the things that the Chiefs can't do well against Pittsburgh, they can do well against Pittsburgh. Their defensive line with Calais Campbell and Marcell Dareus, like they can stop the run. They got athletic linebackers. They can pressure the quarterback. You know, and it's just they're going to make Pittsburgh uncomfortable. And it would not surprise me if they won the game. I mean, I would pick Pittsburgh if you asked me to pick them, but if Jacksonville won, I wouldn't be shocked.
If you're a Chiefs fan, do you root for Jacksonville to lose because that would make them more likely to want to trade for Alex Smith?
Oh, I think either way they'll probably make a deal for him. I just don't see how they've had Blake Bortles there for now, what, he's gone on 4 years? And they're going to have to make a decision about a quarterback. They don't want to have to play a young quarterback. They're going to have to look for a veteran. And for what Kirk Cousins is going to cost you, he's going to be the best option on the free agent market. I don't think you want to pay $25, $26 million a year for him. So
you think they're going away from Bortles no matter what?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think they pretty much, the way Doug Marrone has talked about him, the way they've looked at him.
I mean, he didn't have a horrible season.
Didn't have a horrible season, but I don't know if they want to invest. You know, we just had the conversation here about paying a young quarterback a lot of money. I don't know if they want to invest that kind of money in him.
They want to invest draft picks into Alex Smith?
If it gets you to the next level, yeah.
If they think they're ready to take the next step.
Yeah, if it buys you time, if you're saying, hey, we could have God, a Bortles stable quarterback here for 3 years.
He's not terrible.
Is Alex Smith better?
Probably.
He completed 60% of his passes. He threw 21 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. I mean,
look at Alex Smith's year last year, and you're going to tell me that. I mean,
Alex Smith's year was far better than that.
Uh-oh. Last year?
It smells like Philip Rivers all over again.
His, what, 14 pass TDs?
15. I mean,
calm down, Jake.
I'm just saying, Bortles is not horrible. Bortles is average.
He's average.
Yeah.
I mean, 21. Horrible.
He's their biggest problem. Right. I would say he's their biggest weakness. I wouldn't say he's horrible. He's not horrible.
Right.
No. He's shown potential, but I don't think that he was drafted by a different regime.
Yeah.
He was coached by a different regime when he came in. There's no investment there. That's why I see him sort of being a player who they can say, oh, you know, let's get somebody else in here.
Well, I mean, to Nate's point, it's going to be harder the deeper they go. It's going to be harder to walk away from them if they go a run to the AFC Championship game. Yeah,
you got to make those choices sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It also depends on how they win or how they lose these games. If it's clear that if they come up, if they go to New England and lose 13-3 and Bortles throws three picks, and they clearly if they would have had a competent quarterback and they could have been in the Super Bowl, then there will be a tremendous amount of pressure. And their ownership. They're aggressive enough to where if they get close and they think, okay, this window's open for a Super Bowl,
yes,
let's go. Let's get this done. I do. I think Buffalo will be interested. I saw Lewis Riddick mention on ESPN that he expects Buffalo to pursue Alex Smith as well.
Yeah.
And that's what you need, right? Like, because Jake...
Exactly right.
Jake keeps bringing up the point.
Arizona.
Right.
Arizona.
Well, I know, Jake, you keep bringing up the point. Why would somebody give something up because he's going to be a free agent after, you know, or if they know you're going to cut him? The reason is because if there's competition for him.
Yeah.
If two or three teams all know they want him, then they got to give something up to make sure they're the team that gets him. That's what you're hoping for is, you know, multiple teams vying for him.
It does not appear that they are a quarterback away, but Cleveland has an unbelievable amount of draft picks where they could trade, and John Dorsey is the GM. Do you think Cleveland would be interested in Alex Smith as a transition quarterback?
I think they would be, but I also feel as if Andy Reid has such a good relationship with Alex that he's not going to send him someplace where he can't have a chance to win. I don't think he's going to put him in a position where he's going to be on a bad team, you know, winning 5-6 games for the next 2-3 years. I think he's a good enough guy where he would say, Alex, like, what makes sense to you? We've got Jacksonville, Buffalo, Arizona, Cleveland, they've all called. What do you like? and here's what we can get for you. We're going to do what's best for us, too, but we want you to have some say in this. I think that's what would probably happen.
Do you think there's any chance that Britt Reid is reassigned or has a different job?
We were talking about that in the break. I feel like all those defensive coaches have to be in a situation where their job security.
But that's Britt Reid. Like, is
yeah, well, nepotism only goes so far, right? At some point, you have to answer to your boss, and you have to be able to tell Clark Hunt why you're doing some of these things. So, you know, Clark Hunt, I think when the John Dorsey situation came down, even though there was some structure there where Dorsey answered to him and Reid answered to him, I think Clark Hunt, some of the looks I've seen on his face after some of these losses, he's not going to sit around this offseason and just be like, oh, Andy, do what you want to do. We'll just get it figured out. I think he's going to talk to Andy about how is this going to get better, and he's going to want to hear some really good answers. So, yeah, I could see him being reassigned to save him from being fired.
Right.
But I think that whole staff has to be looked at.
What are your other picks for the weekend? You going to pick Pittsburgh?
I'll take Pittsburgh. I'll take Pittsburgh and New England just because – it's conventional wisdom that they're the two best teams left, and they'll play each other.
What about the NFC?
NFC, I'll take Atlanta, and I'll take Minnesota.
Road favorite in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Falcons.
Falcons are scary, man. People sleep on the Falcons. Their defense is legit. They went out there. That's what I'm saying, like with the Chiefs. Falcons went out there and said, we want speed, we want athletic ability, and we're running the 4-3, same 4-3 that they ran in Seattle. 2 years later, top 10 unit that just shut down the best offense in football on the road. But I think Minnesota's got a special thing happening there, and people are sleeping on them, and they're playing at home. And
that's a good game, though, man.
Yeah. Yeah. They D up over there, man. They D up. Adam Thielen, big-time weapon. Case Keenum's
awesome.
Playing well. Case Keenum. Who knew Case Keenum would be this beloved this time of year? He'll be out there, too. Free agent.
Yeah, well, you Minnesota, you probably got to keep him if he gets to the championship game, huh?
They got Sam Bradford sitting over there.
Bridgewater and Bradford.
They got a bunch of quarterbacks just sitting around.
All of them are free agents.
Sam Bradford's made out of paper mache.
Sam Bradford.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's like.
Saints one time this year.
Yeah, you got all these guys sitting around in your locker room.
Saints are winning that game.
Nope.
Mm-mm. You taking the Saints, huh?
Yeah, I got Saints going to the Super Bowl.
They're good, but I watch that game. Watch how the Vikings play. If you haven't watched the Vikings play,
really
you'll be
good.
Impressed.
Here's my hope. I hope somehow, some way, just for giggles, Nick Foles lights it up and somehow takes them to the NFC Championship game.
Oh, Jake's gonna slap me in the face on Monday.
Might do that anyway.
Everyone have a great day listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.